Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is the reading of God's Word. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we are hungry and thirsty for your word. And we thank you that you will fill us and we will be satisfied. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that you will grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. And because it is your word, the powerful word of God, that by hearing your word, that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us love you with everything we have. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every time we have Lord's Supper, we're looking at Mark these days. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 today. It says, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Luke chapter 16 verse 16 says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John," meaning John the Baptist. "Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it." The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, but ever since John, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached. Brothers and sisters, the Old Testament period is ended. It is passed away. The period that was according to this world, the period of the copies and shadows, the period of promises, is now ended and passed away. And the period of the fulfillment is come. All the promises of God is now being fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come with its King. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, comes and inaugurates the kingdom of heaven. Yes, the Old Testament people, they too had the kingdom of God and many kings, but they were all this worldly. They were not perfect. They were not eternal. All were pointing to the perfect and eternal kingdom of God, and they were pointing to the perfect and eternal King which was to come. And that King has come, and he brought with him the eternal kingdom of God, his kingdom, heaven. Jesus Christ has come and inaugurates his eternal kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah 61 prophesied about the coming of this messianic king. Isaiah 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom prisoners. That promise of God is now being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. In our passage, verse 14, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. God's good news is proclaimed. Isaiah 35 prophesied about the coming of this messianic kingdom this way. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6, then when that kingdom comes, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. That day has come. If we read the rest of the book of Mark, then we will see Jesus binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We will see Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, curing the mute to speak, lame, leap like a deer. Do you see it? As you read the gospel, the Messiah has come. God has come. And He inaugurates His eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. Heaven is a place where there is no brokenhearted, no captive, no prisoners, no blind, no deaf, no mute, no lame. Jesus, by curing these people, established the kingdom of God and witnesses the coming of that kingdom, witnessing the reality of that kingdom. Jesus comes and He proclaims and He teaches and He reveals and He shows and He witnesses and He demonstrates the coming and the reality of the kingdom of God. As the gospel of God is proclaimed, the kingdom of God comes and the king of that kingdom is proclaimed. God Himself is preaching the gospel and proclaims His coming. The words that God Himself preached in our passage, what are they? The words that God Himself preached. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As Jesus comes and preaches and fulfills, the new reality is accomplished. The time is now fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And now all who are participants of this new reality, what do? They repent and believe in the gospel. Listen to what God preaches to you. The time is fulfilled. The time that God has appointed has arrived. Do you see it? Even as we see Jesus in the gospel, we see God is working in history. He comes in history and now gives the true meaning to that history. Without God working and fulfilling, history has absolutely no meaning and purpose. Because without God coming and working and fulfilling, everybody, no matter what they do, they will go to hell. And I don't think at the end when you go to hell, You could talk about meaning and purpose of your life. That is foolishness. Do you understand? Without Jesus coming and working and fulfilling, our lives are meaningless. There's no purpose. Because we all go to hell without Christ. But do you see it? Jesus came. And He gave true purpose and meaning to our lives. True meaning and purpose to history. Now, in Jesus Christ, history of God is our history. History of Jesus Christ is our history. Yes, God Himself came and He fulfills His kingdom. And even as we see Jesus working and fulfilling His kingdom, we see the end has come. The end of this world has come. The beginning of the new world has come. The new era has begun. This means that you cannot, no longer, you cannot live as if we're still living in the old times. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17b, the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This world has passed away. Behold, heaven has come. Everything that was according to this world has passed away. Now everything that is according to heaven has come. The old has passed away. Your life that belongs to the old is passed away. The new life in Jesus Christ, the resurrected life of heaven has come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to understand what has happened. You cannot just live as if nothing has happened. Jesus came and He fulfilled. He accomplished our eternal life. Jesus preaches, the time is now fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7b, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. When you hear His voice through His word, do not harden your hearts, because it is the gospel of God. We must pay a reverent attention to the gospel that our Lord Himself is proclaiming. The time is now fulfilled. Time is now fulfilled. Do you feel the urgency? You cannot ignore anymore. Time is now fulfilled. Even after 2,000 years, the message is still urgent because Jesus can come any minute. Time is now fulfilled. You cannot ignore this any longer. 2 Peter chapter 3, let us go there together. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read from verse 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Understand? During the last days, right now, some people will come mocking, Yeah, I heard that Jesus is coming back. Where is he? 왜 is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. They were saying, we look at the world, it's the same as ever before. What do you mean Jesus is coming? What do you mean the judgment is coming? I don't see it. Verse 5, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. People who say, what judgment? Where is his coming? They forget what happened to this world as a shadow. In Noah's time, flood actually came and destroyed this world. And it was preview of what will happen. God showed us what is going to happen through Noah's flood, and yet they forget. World was the same, just like how it was all the time. No, it is not. There was a time when the world was destroyed. But that was only preview. Verse 7, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. They forget that, yes, God is preventing right now for the last judgment to come. This world is reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment. But people don't want to hear this. Verse 8, do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Do not think that Jesus is not coming. Do not think he is slow in coming. Because for him, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So 2,000 years for him is just like 2 days. Don't think that because he didn't come for 2,000 years that his promise is just nothing. What is he doing? Why is Jesus waiting? He's doing that for you so that you could come to full repentance. He's coming, he's doing that for his people who he has chosen so that all of them will come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with an intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If this is what is going to happen, then how you must live? It's very clear. Why would you live for those things who will be completely destroyed? Why would you do that? Unless you're full. And yet, that's what they want to do. This world wants that. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus says, heaven has come. God gives his kingdom to us. Now there are two kingdoms, two worlds, heaven and this world. If we love this world more, then we will ignore heaven. If we love heaven more, then we will forsake this world and enjoy the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand means that the judgment of God is also at hand. That is why coming of Jesus is joy to the believers, but it is also judgment to non-believers. And the only way to possess this kingdom of God is to repent and believe. Repent and believe. What is repentance unto life? Shorter Catechism, number 87. Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, and God calls his people to repent and believe. You must believe. You must believe that you are a sinner who truly deserve eternal death and punishment, but that Jesus died for you in your place instead of you, and that he lived that perfect righteous life in your place instead of you. John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe, you will not perish. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Romans chapter 10 verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's urgent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is not just for person who is not a believer. Because we believe, we must repent and believe. And asking God to help us in our unbelief. The kingdom of God, or according to Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, it is where God governs and rules and his people obey. That is why our standard says that the church is the kingdom of God. Because this is where God reigns, God governs, and God's people obeys. That's why individually you are a church. Because in you, it is where God governs and you obey Him. Kingdom. Kingdom has the king. And if people who are living in that kingdom doesn't obey that king, then it's not a kingdom. If you believe yourself as citizens of that kingdom, which means that you obey your king. Because if you do not obey him, then you're witnessing that he is not your king and you are not his subject. Think about it. When you don't obey God, what are you saying? He's not your king. And no matter how many times you say, no, he's my king, if you don't obey. That you do not consider him as your king. It is a place where Jesus is our king. It is where there is no sin. It is where God is with us forever. Revelation 21 verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Jesus now comes and inaugurates this kingdom. And he fulfills this kingdom with his word. Just like the first creation is by his word, the new creation is the same. In Matthew chapter 13, we read the parable of the sower. There, the seed is the word of God. The seeds fall on the good soil. The words of God fall on true Christians and bear fruits. The reality of this kingdom is that God's word is preached and that seed is fall on good soils who are true Christians and they bear much fruit. It's not that they might bear much fruit or that we need to weigh whether they do or not. No, they do. And it's urgent message. And if you believe that you're not bearing, then you must urgently heed to this word. Repent and believe. You cannot wait anymore. You cannot put this off. When you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. As the seed is falling on the good soil, the kingdom of God furthers. It expands. It grows. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Do you see the picture? Mustard seed, and it grows into beautiful picture, and all the birds come and enjoy that tree. It's like kingdom, God's kingdom, heaven is like this. And for 2,000 years, seed is fallen on good soil. And the kingdom of God grew and grew. and it is growing even today. It's not just because you don't want to obey God that it is not growing. God's will is being done. Always. The secrets of the kingdom of God are not given to the arrogant people, the boastful people. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. All those people who think they're so smart in this world, they will never believe. Because they're just too smart to believe. What are you talking about? What do you mean God just with his word create the whole universe? What kind of nonsense is that? Because their brilliant intelligence just cannot accept it. Because God did not reveal this secrets of kingdom of God to intelligent and arrogant people. But he revealed to us infants, kids, when it comes to our intelligence. According to this world, we're like infants. See, we're stupid. That's why we believe the Bible. It's okay. We'll be happy to be stupid people of this world. But we are wise in Jesus Christ. Now all those who know the God and his kingdom forsake all and possess heaven and with joy enjoys it. Matthew 13 verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in field. Let's say you found a treasure hidden in a field. What are you going to do? You will hide it again. What are you going to do? You will hide it. And you will go and sell everything you have because you know how much worth that treasure is. You will sell everything to buy the whole land so that you could keep that treasure. Kingdom of God is just like it. It is so valuable when you find it. You will forsake the whole world to get that. Because you know how much it is worth. But if you do not know how much it is worth, if you actually think that it is worthless, then of course you're not going to forsake everything. The kingdom of God is not of this world. John chapter 18 verse 36a, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. We are not here to show off its power and wealth as if they are the same as the power and wealth of this world. This sinful world does not understand heaven. This world does not believe it. This world does not want it. Heaven is not something that we see or something that we are able to show to this world. Luke chapter 17 verse 20. Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Pharisees wanted a kingdom of God that is of this world. So they were anxiously waiting. When is kingdom coming? And Jesus says, My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not something that it could be observed with physical eyes. It is not a kingdom that is seen now. Only through eyes of faith we are able to see it. And just because you do not see it or the world does not see it doesn't mean it's not there. Just like the world doesn't believe Jesus, it doesn't mean he's not there and he's not God. Thus, the kingdom of God is hidden to this sinful world now. Thus, this world does not accept it. But when Jesus returns, all will see it. All will acknowledge it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is just a matter of when. Everyone will acknowledge it. Some do it now, some do it later. Do it now because if anyone acknowledges it when it is visible after Jesus come back, then it is too late. But after Jesus come back, you have to acknowledge it because you will see it. But it will be too late. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom that you demonstrate visibly, physically, its power and wealth now. The sinful Pharisees want it, and sinful people still want that kind of kingdom. A kingdom that belongs to this world. They also want it and still want the earthly king who will make us healthy and wealthy in this world. This is why they did not and still not accept Jesus Christ, who accomplished the true kingdom of God, which is not of this world. But brothers and sisters, you are different. You believe. Yes, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has already come. And we love this kingdom. We possess it in Jesus Christ. It is our kingdom. And we repent and believe. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. The gospel of God also tells us that the reality of the possession of that true kingdom of God is witnessed through God's people by their lives of suffering for the gospel. Acts chapter 14 verse 22b, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. This is why the world will not accept Jesus Christ. Because it is nonsense to them. Do you remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? So many people did not understand why is he dying? I thought he was Savior. If he's a Savior, why is he dying on the cross like a helpless person? They cry out to Jesus, come down! Come down! If you come down, I believe you. Come down and save yourself and show your power. Then I will believe you. You make me wealthy and you make me healthy, I will believe you, I will follow you. But without making anybody healthy or wealthy, he dies on the cross as if just a helpless person. World mocked at him. It just doesn't make any sense. What do you mean you are a Savior? Come down! This is kind of king that people hate. King who is so helpless and powerless. Because he is not making me live better, healthy, and more wealthy. That's why they killed him. They rejected him. And this world and people who belong to this world continue to do so. They don't want this kind of Jesus. That's why church now, so-called churches, changed its message. They changed Jesus as somebody that this world, even this world, wants. It's a fake Jesus, and this world hears it and go, oh, if Jesus is like that, then we want him. But Jesus is not like that. He never promised you that he will make you rich in this world or he will make you healthy in this world. Where does he say that? But he is offering himself to you. And he is offering his kingdom to you. You gladly, with joy, accept that kingdom and that king. But do so is now suffering in this world. Yeah, with no reason, people will hate you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Just because I want to obey God. You just want to obey God, that's all. And yet, if you say the truth and obey God, with no good reason, people will hate you. It's suffering for the gospel. And just like in Jesus' time, people who hate you the more, who are they? Religious people. People who go to church. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper today. The reality of the kingdom of God is being witnessed today. The eternal banquet of heaven in which we, his people, in his kingdom, sit with our King, Jesus Christ, at his table, eat and drink and have joyful fellowship with him, that reality is being witnessed today. But that message, that reality, that picture is hidden to the world. When the world come in and see what we're doing, they will never think of this as a heavenly banquet. They just don't have it. They will never get it. They will probably go, "What? What is this?" And we call blood and his body. Ugh. It's not something that is desirable to them. But how about you? Do you understand? Do you believe that as you participate in the Lord's Supper, that you actually witness the reality of heaven? That you are sitting at God's table and eating and drinking with God. You believe. If you don't, then don't do it. If you do not believe it, then don't participate. Because then you are drinking your own sin and eating your own sin. The Bible says. Understand, it is great privilege Do not throw a pearl at the swine, Jesus says. We're not begging the world to come and join us. Yes, we love their spirits and we pray for them and we want them. There's nothing more that we like to see than they come to know Jesus Christ, but we're not begging them. It is privilege. You come with that kind of understanding. Show to the whole world how privileged you are so that they will ask. Because if it is that good of a thing, they want to know about it. For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and we witness the reality of the kingdom of God that he has accomplished for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That reality is being witnessed. Kingdom of God is here. The time has now fulfilled. The kingdom of God is now at hand. Repent and believe. As you come to his table, repent and believe. Do not harden your hearts. It is very urgent. You must do it now. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for eternal life we have with you. Oh, Father, how privileged it is to come to you and have fellowship with you. Bless us, God, with the knowledge of your Son, the knowledge of heaven, knowledge of what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And let us believe. And let us repent of our sins. And always obey you, our God, so that we may be able to witness that you are our King. Bless your people, that we may come repenting of our sins. And with the determination to obey you more and more. We thank you, God. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.